But we are in the book of Exodus. And so if you would like to turn to the book of Exodus chapter 15, we're taking a look at how God is working through Moses to bring grace to His people. The nation of Israel has been in slavery in Egypt, and they are not deserving of God's grace. Yet God extends His grace to them. God shows them His grace. They are not a people that have been kept, they have not kept themselves pure. They have not kept themselves undefiled. They have not kept all of the ways that they knew to be right. And yet God still blesses them. God still reaches out to them. And the reason I wanted to point this out is because this is the way God treats us. We are not deserving of His grace. We are not deserving of His love. We are not deserving of eternal life. And yet God reaches out to us. God extends this to us. As we've taken a look at Moses, the excursions that we've had here with Moses, we are up to the point in Exodus chapter 15 where last week we saw the nation of Israel come out of Egypt. They were led out of Egypt and they were led through the waters that parted. And now they are on the other side of the waters. The waters have closed in. The Egyptian army has been decimated. They have been drowned. And now in chapter 15, and you could read the first part of this chapter because we're not going to cover that this morning. But this is the song, it's called the Song of Moses and Miriam. And it is a song of praise unto the Lord. Verses 1 through 21 gives this song of praise, how God has rescued His people, how God has given them the victory, how God has shown Himself to be powerful, to be almighty. And they praise the Lord in this. Then they move on. So let's jump into verse 22. Verse 22. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. Anything wrong with that? Some of you aren't with me yet, are you? You've just traveled 3 days into the desert of Shur without water. Have not found any water. Finding water in the desert is a very big deal, especially when you have a group of 2 to 3 million people and their livestock. There is the definite need for water. And here they have come into the desert of Shur. If you were here last Sunday night, we took a look at the desert of Shur. The desert of Shur is called, Shur means a border or wall. It's the desert between Egypt and the peoples to the east. And in fact, some of the pharaohs built a wall to keep the eastern people out, the nomadic people, from coming into their land of Egypt. So the desert of Shur, this expanse just to the east of Egypt, this is the desert that they are now wandering. And they've gone 3 days' journey. Do you remember what Moses' request to Pharaoh was? Want to go a three-day journey into the desert to worship the Lord. I don't think this is by any mistake that they went for 3 days and then they started grumbling. They didn't go 3 days to worship. They went 3 days to grumble. Think about that. Do we have to go to church again? They go 3 days, they're without water, and they begin to grumble. Verse 23, when they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. And that is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses saying, what are we going to drink? What are we to drink? When we all get into this situation, just as the nation of Israel was, they were seeing their circumstances. They were not seeing the God who's going to deliver them. They're only seeing their circumstances from their viewpoint. When you are stressed, you tend to see the trees and not the forest, right? You're unable to appreciate the beauty of everything around you because the only thing you can see are the problem of the trees around you. Some people walk into the forest to get away and for the beauty of it, to go hunting or just to enjoy God's beauty and nature there. And other people get stuck in the forest and they're upset about it because they can't get out. It depends on your perspective, doesn't it? Here we have the nation of Israel, 3 days' journey into the desert, and finally they come to water and they can't even drink it. It is bitter. It has a metallic taste to it. It is very acidic. It is not fit for human consumption. It's probably not even fit for the livestock. And now they begin to grumble. Now they begin to complain. Why did you bring us out here? What are we going to drink? What are we going to do? Come on, Moses, give us some answers. What does Moses do? I love this. Verse 25. Moses cried out to the Lord. Moses did not give them the answers that they wanted. Moses did not say, I'll take care of this. He didn't say, I'm going to fix this. Moses said, Lord, what are we going to do? He gives the people an example of what they should be doing, crying out to the Lord. And therein we have the answer for us. We have an example for us to follow. Moses cries out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. How do you like that? Moses, you see that log sitting over there? Just throw it in the water. And he does. And he said, now taste it. How do you explain that? Every boy on the face of the earth walks up to a body of water, and there's a stick laying there. What happens to the stick? He throws it in the water. Because every boy is trying to be like Moses, right? Going to make this sweet. Moses throws the stick in the water, the log. We don't know how big it was. All we know is, here's a piece of wood, throw it in the water, and became sweet. And there the Lord made a decree and a law for them. And there He tested them. And He said, verse 26, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His eyes, if you pay attention to His commands and keep all of His decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. If you will listen, if you will obey, if you will follow, you will not see the same things that the Egyptians saw. You will not see the same diseases. You will not see the same plagues overcoming you. You will see my deliverance. You will see my providence. You will see me, because I am the Lord who heals you. I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. He is the God who heals their diseases. He is the God who's going to provide for them. He is going to be the one that oversees everything in their lives. God extends His grace to them. Even though they begin to cry out, even though they begin to doubt, He still shows His grace. The last verse, verse 27, then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. Amen! That's why we came out to the desert. This is what we were looking for. We were looking for a place that has plenty of water. We were looking for a place that has the trees around. We're looking for a place that we can just go and relax. This is why we've come, oh Lord. We praise You. We praise You. We don't know how long they stayed at Elim, but we do know they didn't stay a long time. Because if you read on into chapter 16, they move from there. Move into chapter 16. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim, and they came to the desert of Sin, not Sin, Sin. The desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month, they came out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Let me just remind you, go back to verse 26 of the previous chapter. If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord and do what is right in His eyes, if you pay attention to His commands and keep His decrees, I will not bring on you the diseases that I brought upon the Egyptians.
Moses, why did you bring us out here? Why did you bring us out here? We had it made at Elim. Now you've brought us into the desert. Again, there's no water to drink. There's no food to eat. Oh, if we could just go back to Egypt where we had all the food that we ever desired to eat. Lie. They were slaves in Egypt, remember? They were not princes. They were not lords. They were slaves. They had all that they could eat. You know, they just sat around all day long by the pots, and the pots were always full, and they just had to pull out of the pot and eat. Oh. You see how easily and how soon we forget our condition when we're stuck in slavery? You see that the transition that these people have come, and they've enjoyed the good life. They've enjoyed the time with the Lord, but they've lost sight. They've lost sight of why they've come out. They've lost sight of the way it used to be. They see it how they want to see it. They don't see it how it really is. Lord, why have you brought these troubles against us? Why have you brought these trials our way? If only we could go back to Egypt. Verse 4, the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven. Notice that Moses did not seek the Lord. The Lord spoke to Moses. The people were not crying out to God. The people were crying out, but they're grumbling. But the Lord speaks to Moses, verse 4, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? Moses also said, you will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. Putting them on notice, giving them a remembrance. When it is the Lord who led you out. It wasn't Aaron and myself. We weren't the ones that led you out. The Lord's been working through us. We were the physical bodies that are leading you out. Yes, but it is the Lord who has led you out. It is the Lord who is giving you the victory. It is the Lord that is providing for you. It is the Lord that is taking us to the place where we can worship him. We need to follow the Lord. He gets them looking at God. Now I want to stop right here because I want to remind you of something that you may have forgotten, that the Israelites forgot. There was a column of cloud, a pillar of cloud by day, and a pillar of fire by night that continually abided with the nation of Israel as they're walking through the desert. Continual reminder that God is with them. They could see it. All they had to do was look up and say, there's the Lord. He is still with us. He is still showing us the way. Let's trust him. There he is. And we know that God is not a column of fire. God is not just a pillar of cloud. God, this was his manifestation. This was his physical manifestation so that they could see that he's still there. But they can't see it. Because they have problems. Oh, they have problems. Oh, we have nothing to eat. We have nothing to drink. I just want to be a slave again. Moses, why are you doing this to me? Hey, you're going to grumble. You're going to grumble against the Lord, because he is the one that has led us out here. And you will see this evening, you will see his glory. In the morning, you will see his glory. And he's going to give you food to eat. He's going to give you meat. He's going to give you bread. He is going to provide for your every need. Wait to see the glory of the Lord. Verse 9, then Moses told Aaron, say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. And while Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. And that evening, quail came and covered the camp. In the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. And when the dew was gone, the thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared in the desert floor. And when the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. The Israelites did as they were told. It's the first time we've seen that. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed. And then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. Yeah. However, verse 20, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as he needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person. And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. And he said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil, save whatever is left and keep it until morning. So they saved it until morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. Eat it today, Moses said, because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where he is on the seventh day. No one is to go out. So the people rested on the seventh day. Let me just stop right here, because here is the test. God is providing for his people, and he wants them to follow his instructions. He makes it very simple. In the evening, I'm going to bring the quail to you. You don't have to go find them. The quail are coming to you. Eat. In the morning, there's going to be flakes all over the ground. And I can just hear some of you saying, well, why were the flakes on the ground? The ground is dirty. We shouldn't have to pick it up off the ground. We shouldn't have to eat things off the ground. That's where you're going to find it. Pick up the flakes. Pick up an omer for each individual. How do I know how much an omer is? An omer is 1/10 of an ephah. Very simple. About 7.5 pints, about a half gallon, okay? That's how much bread or flakes of bread that they are to prepare for each person. And people went out and some gathered as much as they could get and they took it home and it was an omer. Some gathered just a little bit and they took it home and it was an omer. There was just enough for everybody in their household. Enough so that everybody had whatever they needed to eat. God provides. And he said, don't keep any of it overnight. Eat it all during the day. When you are without food for a while, when you are without money for a while, what is the tendency for you to do? Hoard. I hate to tell you this, but my grandmother hoarded toilet paper. She went through, seriously, she went through bad times in our economy. And there were times that she had to go without toilet paper, and she thought, never again. Never again. And there was one time that I recall her saying, I heard in the news that there's going to be a shortage of toilet paper. Don't worry, I've got enough.
We tend to hoard things because we don't want to be without. And that is exactly what the Israelites did. They hoarded the food. We've been without food for days. We've been hungry. We've been thirsty. Lord, we're not going to go without anymore. You give us the food, we're going to keep it until morning. And in the morning, we have maggots. And we have stinky stuff. It's unfit to eat. Why? Because we didn't listen to the Lord. Every time we go out and do things on our own, every time we go out and do things the way we think they ought to do and venture away from the way God has instructed us to do, we make a mess and it stinks. That's exactly what happened. And they learned from that. They had to learn the hard way, but they learned from that. All they had to do was trust the Lord and go out every day and get fresh. Get fresh. You don't have to eat the maggot stuff. Get the fresh stuff. And then there was the challenge of the sixth and seventh day. The sixth day you gather twice as much. Why? You're in preparing for the seventh day, because on the seventh day you're going to get a day of rest. Isn't that great? Lord wants us to gather enough on the sixth. He wants us to bake it up on the sixth so that we can eat it on the seventh. Bake up. Cook up, prepare whatever you want to eat on the seventh. Make sure you prepare it, because on the seventh day, you're going to get to sit back and rest and eat out of the pots, just like you wanted to do back in Egypt. So on the seventh day, what did they do? Some of them go out and look for new bread. They didn't find any. Can you hear God saying, what's it going to take for you guys to listen? Very simple instructions. 6 days, I provide bread for you. Seventh day, no bread. Any questions? Seventh day, you go out and look for bread. No! Seventh day, you eat what you have prepared on the sixth day. No issues. They couldn't listen. Verse 31. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come, so they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the desert when I brought you out of Egypt." So Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar, put an omer of manna in it, then place it before the Lord to be kept for the generations to come." As the Lord commanded Moses, Aaron put the manna in front of the testimony, that it might be kept. The Israelites ate manna 40 years until they came to a land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. And here's where I got the what an omer is, verse 36. An omer is 1/10 of an ephah. They were to keep this because it was going to be a lasting remembrance of God's provision. This is what the Lord provided for the generation long ago. And this omer of manna was kept in the Ark of the Covenant. Now, we can't say that it was kept in the Ark, because the Ark hadn't been constructed yet. But it was kept in the Ark. It was kept there in the Ark of the Testimony. The testimony of God's faithfulness. The testimony of God's provision. It served as a testimony that God was going to show them the way. God was going to provide for them every step of the way. And that they could trust Him. Chapter 17. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin. Traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Hello! What's happening here? What is happening here? We're entitled to water. Now give it to us. We demand it. Again, they're complaining. And they're taking their complaint to Moses. "You're the one that led us out here. If you're God's man, then you get us water."
They're entitled to it, aren't they? Oh, people, we are spoiled rotten. We make these same demands of God all the time. Lord, you said you're going to provide for me. Well, this is what I want. And we think that he's going to cross his arms and blink his eyes and bling, it's going to happen. God doesn't work that way. And if that is your impression, if that's your view of who God is, you need to erase all of that. And you need to reread this passage. You need to reread this chapter. And you need to see how God provides for the needs of his people. They were not living in the lap of luxury. And they still had to go out and work for it. They still had to go out and collect the manna, the flakes that were out on the desert floor. I'm not sure if you caught it, but when the sun came up, the dew would dissipate and then the manna would melt. If you didn't go out, you didn't get bread to eat that day. It wasn't just presto changeo, my canister of or omer of manna will be there for me. You had to go out and get it. God is providing it. You need to go and do something. You need to get it. We have a feeling in our world today that God is just going to make us wonderful and everything's going to go our way. No, we are not here for God to please us. We are here to please God. And we need to get that right. The nation of Israel had a sense of entitlement. We're thirsty. What are you going to do? Give us water to drink. Had they not learned to seek God? They're seeking after Moses. Pardon my interpretation, but the government, the one who is governing them, the one who is leading them, they're looking to him for the strength and the answers. They're not looking to God. Give us water to drink. Moses replied, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test? But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, why did you bring us out of Egypt to make us and our children and our livestock die of thirst? Drama, drama, drama. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, what am I to do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me. And the Lord answered Moses, walk on ahead of the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Where's that pillar? Still with them, isn't it? Pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. Where is the Lord? I'm thirsty. He needs to provide me some water right now. Attitude, lack of humility, lack of appreciation, lack of submission, lack of obedience, lacking, lacking, lacking. And so God throws the fireball at him, right? No. God throws some grace their way. God throws grace to them. He tells Moses, take the staff, same one that you've used all along. And I want you to go ahead of the people. I want you to take the elders with you. And I want you to strike the rock. Can you imagine the faith that Moses needed? Lord, you want me to strike the rock with my stick. And you're going to provide water for the people. This ought to be good. But he knew God was, he knew best to take God at his word. He knew that God would come through. And so he goes and he strikes the rock. And water gushes out. to supply for the people. Somebody with a lot of time on their hands figured up how much water would be necessary for the nation of Israel. Can you imagine? I don't know by what standards, but they were figuring about 11 million gallons of water a day to provide for the nation of Israel. Every day. Multiply that by 40 years, you come up with a total of 161 billion gallons of water in the desert. And God provides. The same individual had so much time that they figured out how much food they would need. Again, I'm not sure of the standards, but about 1,500 tons of food every day to feed the nation of Israel. I didn't write it down, but they figured out how many railroad cars that would be. 1,500 tons of food over the course of the 40 years, 22 million tons of food. That's a lot of food. That's a lot of manna. It's a lot of quail. But God provides. Every need God provides. Again, they were not living in luxury. They weren't walking, or they weren't rolling about. They didn't have, you know, luxurious vehicles in which to ride. They were walking through the desert. They were walking through the wilderness. They were walking. They had to go out and they had to get the food off the ground. There was a little bit of humility associated with that, wasn't there? But they had to go. They did something and they received the food. They received their needs, everything God provided for them. The takeaway we have from this is that God does provide. God continues to provide. I thought it was interesting. They named that this last place where the water came out of the rock, they named it Massah, which means testing, and Meribah, which means quarreling. Time where we tested God and we were quarreling with God, and that's when He brought water out of the rock to prove us wrong. God shows Himself faithful. God proves Himself faithful all the time. And He did it then, and He does it today. Jesus wanted His disciples to understand this. And so Jesus gave them these teachings. Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount, verse 6 through 11, says, "When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And when your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask." God knows what our needs are. "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." This is how you are to pray. You're to put your trust in God, and you're to allow Him to provide for you day by day by day. Let God show Himself faithful. He knows your needs even before you ask. A little later on, that same chapter, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, or here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Seek His kingdom. Don't seek about getting filled. Don't seek about being clothed. Don't seek about all of these things so you can be comfortable and then give God your leftovers. Seek Him first. Be devoted to Him first. And all of these things will be added unto you. That's the way Jesus lived as He walked upon the earth. He was not focused on the physical elements. He was focused on the spiritual elements. He knew the real need was not for food. It wasn't for clothing. He knew that the real need was that they knew who He is. They needed to know Him. And He came to meet their spiritual need. Jesus did not clothe everybody that He met. Jesus did not feed everybody that He met. Jesus did not heal everybody that He met. Jesus did not cast out every demon. He did those things, yes, but He didn't do it to everybody. But He did provide a way of salvation for all. Because that is the need that we all have. We need Jesus. Paul wrote to the church at Rome, and he put it like this, Romans chapter 5, verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still undeserving, while we were still stuck in our sin, while we were still enslaved, Jesus died for us. While we were still ungrateful, while we were still grumbling, while we were still demanding our wants to be met, Jesus died for us. And He shows His grace and extends His grace to us, saying, come unto Me. Come to Me. Paul experienced this throughout his ministry. As he wrote the letter to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, he says, my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Now, folks, I need to let you in on something. Jesus owns it all. According to His glorious riches, God will meet your needs. He has all that we need. He has all that we need. The problem is our perspective. We have perceived needs. We perceive what our needs are, and we categorize those things as a need. A drug addict needs a fix. Yes? Yeah, we'd agree with it, but he doesn't need it. He wants it. He craves it. He desires it. And it will give him relief. Yes. An alcoholic needs another drink. Right? A Wisconsin person needs another beer. Right? No. That's not a need. That's a want. That's a desire. That's a craving. But that's not a need. God knows what our needs are. He knows what our wants are. But He's willing to meet our needs. We have to learn the difference. And we need to trust Him. And we need to let Him prove Himself faithful as He meets our needs. Now, that doesn't mean we sit at home and reach in the pot and expect something to eat all the time, because he has given us things to do in order to have food to eat. God gives us employment so that we can provide for our family. God provides. And folks, that's the whole point of this. He wants the nation of Israel to realize that he is leading them to a place where they can worship him, where they can get to know him. And he is going to provide for them. He not only provides on the way there, he's going to provide for the next 40 years. He's going to provide a way into the promised land. He is going to give them everything that they need. Their clothes never wore out. Their sandals did not wear out. They always had fresh meat in the evening and they had fresh bread in the morning. It can't get much better than that. If they would only have listened to God, they could have been there in less than a couple of months. But they refused to listen. It took them 40 years so the entire generation could die out. Folks, how long is it going to take us? It's been 3,500 years at least since this happened. And we are still learning the hard way. We're still going out on the... We're still trying to hoard and keep it overnight and see the maggots. We're still trying to go out on the seventh day and get more so we can have more and find nothing. We're still testing God. We're still asking for him to meet our demands. What's it going to take for us to listen? What's it going to take for us to trust him? You need salvation. You may think you need a drink of water. You may think you need some banana bread to eat. It's good. You may think you have all of these needs and God is not meeting your need and you're angry with God and you shake your fist at God because he's not meeting your demands or your wants. He wants to meet your need. You need Jesus. Beyond that, he adds to that. But beyond that, you don't have any needs. Well, preacher, what are we going to eat? Trust God. If he wants you to eat, he's going to provide food for you. He's going to provide a way. He will make a way for you. Wait upon him. He will show you the way. Wait upon him. Take what he has to give you and receive what you really need. Folks, if you need Jesus today, you need Jesus. Receive him. Receive the offering of salvation that he is giving to you. Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, yes. But he died once for all so that salvation can come upon all mankind. It wasn't just for the Jews. It wasn't just for the Gentiles. It was for all men. If you were in our Sunday school class this morning, you would have seen that. Cornelius, a Gentile, asked for Peter to come and share with him the message that was on his heart. And the message was, Jesus died for you. The good news, he died to cover your sins so that you can have salvation. Folks, we need salvation. We need Jesus. If you're without him today, you need him right now. So let's pray. Father, we are grateful that you meet our needs and that you have provided the way. We praise you that you provide as you see things, and your perspective is a whole lot greater than ours. Oh Lord, help us. Help us to receive what you have in store. Help us to see your grace that is showered down. Lord, we thank you for the example of the Israelites, and the example of Paul, the example that Jesus has given to us in his teaching of the necessity and not to just seek the physical things, but to seek that which is far greater. And that you will always provide because you know what our needs are. Help us to receive our greatest need, Jesus. Your grace is sufficient for us to receive salvation, that we can be with you forever. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity for fellowship. We thank you for that opportunity you've given to us to know you. Help us to trust you and to walk with you day in and day out, just as the Israelites were able to do, knowing that pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night was always there. Lord, you've never left us, nor will you forsake us. Help us to live out these assurances and walk with you, allowing you to meet our needs, to shower down your blessings, and to show us the way into heaven for eternity. Bless us as we follow you, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our invitation this morning is for you to really buckle down and receive what you really need. If you've never accepted Christ into your life, I want to challenge you to do that today. Going to church is not going to cut it for you. Giving to the church doesn't cut it for you. Baking bread for those who are hungry doesn't cut it for you. The only way that you can receive salvation is receiving it by God's grace. He gives it to us freely. We need to accept it. Accept Jesus' death as payment for your sin on the cross. Receive what he offers to you. We're going to stand. We're going to sing a closing hymn. If you need to respond to the Lord, I challenge you to do that during this time. You respond as the Lord leads you.